Stand by for the Dollar Doctors coming up next on KB Radio. While Willard and Peter warm up their computers, a reminder that for years, the Dollar Doctors have presented free, useful workshops describing their supply and demand approach to the market. Many have attended these strictly educational workshops and have learned about this methodology that's been around for 100 years and works as well today as ever. The Dollar Doctors use this supply and demand method to help determine the probable future trend of any stock or mutual fund. Over the years, hundreds of attendees have used this method to better make unemotional decisions on when to buy and when to sell. You may be among those who, while listening to the Dollar Doctors, have watched the very charts they're discussing. The supply and demand method has many advantages, but one disadvantage, it does require vigilance and can be time-consuming if you really want to feel that you're on top of your assets. That's why, over time, some of Willard and Peter's listeners have asked them to manage their investment portfolios as well as their 401ks. Sapriston Asset Management now manages investments for several hundred clients who found it comforting to know that Sapriston Asset Management is watching over their financial well-being and who feel a time-consuming burden's been lifted from their shoulders. If you've ever considered having Sapriston Asset Management help you with your investment decisions, you can easily get full information with no obligation by calling Peter or Willard at 854-7541. They'll be glad to inform you of the many ways they can help. That phone number again, 716-7541. 854-7541 or call toll free at 800-879-7541. And now here are the Dollar Doctors.
Good morning. It's Willard Sapriston.
And Peter Greco.
Saturday, August 27th, 2016 at 10:05. If you're listening tonight on the rebroadcast, don't call us. We're not here from 12 to 1. And you may listen to us at our website, Sapriston, SAPERSTON.com, live and streaming, and you can listen to the archive shows, and every Saturday morning at 7:05, except for next Saturday, you can get, because it's Labor Day weekend, free economic research published by Stone McCarthy that has a little vignette on interest rates, on the markets, on gold, on oil, and tells you generally what's going on. Call us now. We're live, 803-1520, 803-1520 in Western New York, or 800-879-7541, 800-879-7541. Good morning, Tom.
Hey.
Good morning.
How are you two gentlemen doing today?
Nice weather.
Beautiful. You don't have to cut the grass, Peter.
Don't have to?
Not yet.
I was out there last night, and the lawnmower died after I got half of it cut.
No good.
No.
Nope. I got a company I don't know nothing about. But I think it's called National Health, and it's NH.
NH.
Why are you interested in it?
Well, I was looking at a Detroit paper the other day, and it just caught my eye. I think it's something new, but I just hope it's not a biotech.
National Health, it's
NH?
Called?
NH.
Doesn't seem to want to come up. Let me just try another service. Here we go.
Well, she may have to look it up by National Health. Oh, there it is.
I got it. It hasn't been around long. Hold on. And doesn't look terrible on the chart.
No, it looks like it was an IPO back in, what, June maybe?
June, yeah, it's
new. It's an IPO back in June. Anybody who bought it at the opening cried because it dropped from what? What was
16
it?
To 10.
To 10, right.
And she's back to 12 and showing some signs of life, but not really poking its head above the moving averages, maybe a little bit.
Okay. I would say if it could take out the recent high at about 11.5 or so.
Mm-hmm.
Is that where that is?
11 no, 13.5.
Is it? What is it?
13.
No, not that. I mean, above that little spike high. That's not 13.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, 13.5.
When you go to the car dealer today, get some new glasses.
Yeah. Well, I did. I just paid $300 for these things, and I still can't see.
I go to Value Vision. They're
there
cheaper.
You go. It doesn't matter. I call Value Vision. They wanted 311. So.
Oh. Maybe there's no value anymore.
Value Vision was sold to somebody else. So there you go. Anyway, you didn't want to know all of that. But, yeah, I would say if it can go above 13.5, it would look
good, you know.
Okay.
To go back, you know, and test the where it came out at, would you say, 17 and a half or something?
Yeah, 16, 17. Jeffries has 17. A buyout. I don't know if it means anything.
Yeah. But, you know, it looks like the downtrend's been broken. And a lot of these IPOs that were busted like this all of a sudden are showing a lot of strength. So
yes. So it's a maybe.
Yeah.
Well, you would want to buy it after it got to 13.5.
Yeah.
Close at 12.39, but the chart says you could slip back into the 10 range. But if it was to go up and poke its head above 13.5, then you might be okay.
To get up to buy a tech, too?
Pardon me?
The biotech? I'll take a look to find out what kind of company it is. But
I'm not sure I can.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah, I think we can.
Let's see here.
You know, actually, well, it could be, but I would think something called National Health might not be a biotech, really. But do they have their earnings there or something?
Cancer is research, it? Yeah, nanotech platform. Platform to deliver efficient based oncology decision support for treatment of cancer patients.
Yeah, it looks like it's more support, you know, rather than the drug itself from what you're reading there.
Okay.
Yep.
So it might be, you know, as he said, some kind of platform that helps analyze or whatever, you know, without being able to check it totally. But, yeah, I would go, you know, to... you know, one of the websites to find out.
Leading next-generation evidence-based personalized healthcare company, whatever that means, today announced that Sanford Health, one of the largest health systems in the nation, has entered into a commercial license agreement.
Yeah, but they're selecting not NantHealth's. It's actually NantHealth's platform to deliver efficient evidence-based oncology decision support for treatment of cancer patients. So it's some kind of platform, but it doesn't seem to be that it's a drug company, you know.
Okay. Now, Peter, if you need a new lawnmower.
Oh.
You know where to go.
I know where to go.
Get a Honda.
Get a Honda, huh?
I had one for about 9 years. I can't believe it. I keep waiting for it to break, but it don't quit.
Well, I'm kind of hoping it just temporarily died. We'll see what happens. I haven't tried to start it this morning, so we shall see.
Okay,
thanks a lot.
Good night, guys.
Okay, take care.
Take care. Bye. You're listening to The Dollar Doctors Live, Saturday, August 27th, 2016. Willard Saperston, Peter Greco, brought to you by Saperston Asset Management. FINRA SIPC, MSRB, RIA, do your own research, please. We are generally technically based and somewhat fundamentally. We manage accounts. We have a free newsletter on the economy from Stone & McCarthy, fresh through Friday's close every Saturday morning at our website, saperston.com. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook. I Twitter every day now, if I remember. And what do you think of the market here?
I tell you, I never think about the market. I don't care about the market.
Oh, good. Good to hear.
I say that over and over.
Good to hear.
You have to look at what you're invested in.
A philosophy.
I mean, if you look at the market averages, they've been going in a very tight range, no place in particular. So tight, you almost can't see it on the chart.
Yep.
There's no place, but within the market, for example, utilities have been hit bad because of the fear of it rising interest rates. You know, in the meantime, you have to look at semiconductors are on a tear, and they're continuing to be on a tear. You know, they were negative. I think they were negative early in the year, and now semiconductors of the S&P groups are the leading group for the year. And I thought they were up something close to 20. Well, what was it? I can find it. 25.4% for the year for the semiconductor sector.
My gosh.
Once again, it depends where you are. You know, technology's up 16%. Real estate's up 16%. You know, so there's I'm reading the wrong column. 8.9 for real estate.
I thought you were high on real
estate. 9.9 for technology, you know. And energy, you know, who nobody would touch. It's up 15% for the year.
We touched it, whatever that means.
Yep.
So
it's a question of what sectors you're in. You know, pay more attention. And we always say, you know, one of the most important things is the sectors, you know. As long as the market's obviously not moving in a strong direction, you know, that helps quite a bit. Obviously, if the market's going down strongly, a lot of sectors will go down with it. There will be some that might do okay, but you know, when they say the market's in a strong downtrend, they say 80% of the stocks go down. So watch your individual investments. You know, people have been worried, individual investors. They said the retail investor has left the market. That since April, they've withdrawn $100 billion, okay, from funds.
Because
they're frightened to death.
Well, everyone's frightened. That's why rates were coming down.
So as long as that, you know, it's hard to imagine, but it could happen. But it's hard to imagine a substantial decline in the market when everybody is so cautious. The public is extremely cautious. And normally, tops, as people have said, happens with everybody excited, tripping over themselves, you know, to buy things. And, you know, that just hasn't happened. But never say never. But
803-1520, 803-1520, or 1-800-879-7541. The Dollar Doctors, give us a ring. And I was looking at the VIX.
No, you're going to get Jason going there.
Well, I got an alert on it, and apparently it changed columns. Yes, mm-hmm.
It changed
columns.
Oh, yeah, it jumped up again.
Yeah.
But, you know, that probably happened when? Friday, mostly?
Friday, because it's a green X.
Yeah, and that was,
I got the alert Friday around 2 o'clock, maybe.
Because, you know, it was interesting. Originally, Janice Yellen was speaking at Jackson Hole, like they do every time this year, you know, once a year. And she said, you know, didn't say anything about a September rate hike other than it's becoming more likely that they will increase rates. That's about it. And the market, I remember, sank a little bit during the day, but then all of a sudden came back and was doing well. But then Stanley Fischer, the vice chairman of the Fed, was on CNBC, and he was very hawkish, you know, saying, don't be surprised, you know, September, it could be a September or December increases on the table there, you know.
Don't you think they're waiting until after the election, or no?
Oh, who knows what they're doing, really, you know. But, I mean, I pay more attention to Yellen. She wasn't really that hawkish at all, you know. Just preparing the market someday, they're going to raise interest rates. A big number coming out will be Friday's employment report, you know. And if that's another boomer, I guess, you know, that'll shock the market again because they'll think it's becoming more likely. Originally, I guess the Fed futures were predicting, you know, based on probabilities that they calculate from the Fed futures contracts. Originally, there was hardly any chance of a rate increase in September. Now they're up to a 40% chance of a rate increase
in
September.
But a rate increase means that the economy's doing better.
Well, that's what
supposedly.
That's what people are hoping market participants will interpret. You never know.
You never know.
Yeah, never know.
So don't invest more in stocks than you can sleep at night.
Never put a bet on something because sometimes it just doesn't work out like it normally does.
803-1520 or 1-800-879-7541. The Dollar Doctor, Saturday morning, August 27th at 10:15. We're live. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Peter Willard.
What can we do for you?
Tell me what to invest in. No.
Well, hopefully you took profits on HL and stuff like
no,
that.
No, I didn't.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, I bought some more NAK.
Well, where's that trading now?
And that's the reason why the metals are correcting now.
Oh, it's your fault.
It's all yours.
No, I see gold going down to about 310. Or 1310.
Yeah, 310. So. A lot of people will be bailing out.
Forget it then, right?
Yep.
Silver might hit 18 before it rebounds again.
So where'd silver close anyway?
It was 1850 something.
Is that the contract, silver contract, or is that
no?
SLV.
SLV.
SLV closed at
17 something.
1772.
Yeah. I don't follow that. I just follow the actual.
Oh, the actual, price. So, and I know that's always somewhat, in, you know, above it, you know, some number above it, yeah. But
so you could blame me for that.
We will.
Now, the SIL that we follow, the silver miners, and we were stopped out at 49.5 2 days ago, maybe three, turned around at the close.
Yeah.
Went from 44 to 47.
It's all going to come back.
Good.
And it's going to come back with veracity.
Well, you have faith there, that's for sure. What did that NAK close at, anyway?
I don't know.
I've got it.
No, you won't be able to get
it. I was looking at it.
No, NAK is a 40-cent stock.
I got it. 60, I was looking at it.
Really? NAK?
Yeah, you get a glasses.
Well, I think it was 80 cents.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm saying...
Northern Dynasty, right?
Yeah.
Closed at 78 cents.
Yeah, I still like it. I still see it moving north.
Well, if it kept moving a good or $2, according to the chart.
Yeah, well, that'd be fine.
But I don't know anything about it.
Yeah,
we don't follow the
low-priced
stocks.
But you always got to take some off at targets. Remember we said HL 750?
Right. It got close.
Yeah, very close.
Well,
it's going to come back at 7, and then I'll unload it.
You hope.
That sounds like the typical.
Of course, it's 7, and you think it's going to 8,
that's
right?
That's the typical investor psychology.
I don't think it's going to go to 8. But the metals are going to go up no matter what, because we're dealing with a bunch of criminals running the planet. For instance, the Federal Reserve.
I've heard a lot of people say that.
They've been playing their stupid game for almost 7 years about this interest rate crap. And they manipulate the market because they manipulate it for themselves.
Because they can.
Right. Yeah, they're big power brokers. But anyways... There's another one, NSRPF.
NSRPF.
Yeah, that Eric Strout, whatever. He owns almost 6% of that company also. And I've been following it for years and all that, and they've hit some big pockets of gold, and they're just starting to produce now, so.
Yeah, that really took off. It's testing a high of... several months ago right now, so it's right at resistance.
So I'm watching that very carefully.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, that's if we can take out that resistance, you may have something going for you there.
And what is the resistance? $1?
Well, it looks like it's
a buck.
About a buck or so, maybe a little. Yeah. About a buck, I'd say.
Yeah, because I'm a bottom feeder.
Well, so it's, you know, as we know, that's your fun money. So
right, yeah. I'm just playing.
Right. Yeah, so.
But on the other hand, I was wrong about HMY. The PE is 26.
Oh, it's 26. Yeah, well,
which is still low.
Yeah, I don't. You know, with gold companies, I don't think the PE means anything.
No, probably
you know,
not.
So,
but even though it's reversed somewhat, it's still holding pretty steady.
Yeah, it's come back down to what, 3-something?
Close to 387.
Yeah, after getting up to what, 4-3?
Yeah, well, it stopped at we look at a trend line.
It stopped right at the trend line.
Trend line's like a brake.
Yep.
Okay.
On the car.
Yeah, so it stopped right at its down trend line there, and then just pull back.
Now, if it could reverse from there and get above $5, you'd be on your way.
Yeah, that's what I'm still looking for.
Well, I hope it works out for you.
I got time. I'm still that. I'm still young enough.
There you go. That's all you really need is time, right?
Exactly. Well, guys, enjoy your weekend.
Okay, you too.
Thank you very much.
I'll be talking to you soon.
We hope so. Thank you very much. Take care.
You are listening to Willard Saperstein, Peter Greco, The Dollar Doctors, brought to you by Saperstein Asset Management. We're live August 27, 2016, Saturday morning at 10:20. Saperstein Asset Management, FINRA SIPC, MSRB, RIA. Good morning, Dan.
Willard and Peter, how are you this morning?
Good.
Good. I just wanted to, as you guys were talking about gold and silver, just wanted to get your thoughts on, in terms of the gold miners, in your opinion, I mean, do you think this is a minor correction, or do you think maybe the cycle's done for a bit, or what are your thoughts on that?
Well, let's face it. I mean, they've gone, when you have... One of those gold mining indexes was up, 100% or something?
Yeah, at least, maybe
they both were.
Sure.
So I'll give you.
It's not necessarily that it's through, but but it's an overdue correction, right?
So you think, Peter, this could be a pretty significant down cycle for a bit, or what?
Well, I don't know. Take a look at which one.
GDX.
Well, let's look at GDX. If we just look at GDX,
is up, still up 98%
still
for the year, and GDXJ is. I think they were neck and neck for a while. Uh-huh. Let's just see. I mean, that's up 135%, the junior miners. So And the
We're thinking of a 40-50% correction, or what do you guys?
In the SIL, which is the silver miner, is up 148%.
Right.
So, you know, take a breather here.
Right.
But take a look. Pull up the chart, GDX. Let me see the chart on GDX. Okay,
it's just
so
sort of, you know, long-term thinking here.
Yeah, I mean, either it holds right around where it is right now, okay, which was the recent breakout area, you know.
What was that, Peter?
And it looks like what?
Well, it's a 27.
Right? Yeah. That was the previous breakout area, okay.
And what is it selling at right now?
27.
Okay.
About. I didn't look at the
27.18.
27.18.
Either hold there or...
However, when you look at a quarter box chart, this is reversed off the trend line.
Okay.
Now go back to the other chart, though. They want to see where the next support levels are there. Okay. So probably coming
26.
Down there. Probably, yeah, 25. Well, no.
This is 26.
20, that's what?
26.
26. No, I'd say 25. Down as low as 0.5 point chart? Oh, okay.
No. This is what they call the default chart.
Ah, okay.
You want the 1 point.
Yeah, so below that's in the 25 area, okay. 25, 26 area.
You know. So
the 1 point gives you 26,
yeah.
The 1 point chart.
Yeah, 25, 26, below that, 22.
Okay.
So
I guess within the next month or so, we'll see how that thing ends.
But it could be close, you know, in the sense that, you know, they got hit too. Besides being in a correction, you know,
right.
You know, gold doesn't like rising interest rates. Uh-huh. You know,
I don't know, but like you guys are saying, it's been such a tremendous run. I mean, I can see that this mini cycle's done now.
Well, it's possible, but when I look at it, as I said to somebody, we have to look at where these things came from.
Right.
All right. And they've hardly recovered the decline.
Right. Okay.
So I don't think I could say, you know, 135% is totally ridiculous, you know,
right.
Based on how far down they came from their highs, you know.
So, I mean, it could be an area where it may be pausing for a few months or something.
Oh, yeah. I've seen energy stocks, okay, that came down from 100 and something down to 6, all right, and are now trading at 60.
Uh-huh.
Up 10 times. You know, all the way up, you would have said, oh, up 100%, up 200%, up 300%.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
It's due, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But it went from 6 to 60, right?
So you think that energy basically is kind of in the same scenario as gold and silver?
There are energy companies that have been ignoring the decline that came back from the mid-50s or so down to 39, 40.
Right.
And they kept going up.
Yeah.
So you have to pick the individual issues, you know. You can't just say all energy stocks are all gold stocks or whatever, you know. So, I mean, there's been some energy stocks, smaller companies, making new highs through the end of last week.
Wow.
You know.
You guys were talking about the semiconductor, which has been a strong area. So there's one that, you know, I keep looking at is AMD, if you guys want to take a look at that.
Yeah, I own that one. But
you do own it?
Yeah, I sold half my position, you know. But
you're changing.
Yep, I'm learning to take profits.
How many years did that take?
62.
No, okay, no. Just checking.
So you think it may be...
No, I think it's got more to go.
You do?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think right now it closed at what?
8.767.
Yeah, I think it's at least a $10 stock, you know.
So at this point, looking at it right now, guys, I mean, where do you see, like, support and that sort of thing? I mean, where would be a good area to maybe buy some of that?
475 on the first chart I'm looking at.
Well, that's way back. No.
Yeah, but that's the chart. Hold on a minute. I'm just...
Like right now, I think it's at 7.5 or something like
right.
that.
Right.
$7 is a support on the quarter box chart.
Okay.
Let's just take a look.
Yeah, 7 and 6 something.
50-day moving average is 6, so you buy half at 7 and the other half at 6 if it was to go. Something like that.
Yep.
Okay, sounds good. There's another one that seems to be waking up, which is Skyworks, SWKS. Now, that really hasn't had a huge run yet, but it looks like it's just starting to find its footing.
You see what Ambarella's been doing there?
Yeah, I got
some. Yeah, because I bought it a few weeks ago off the show for clients.
Yeah, I got some of that a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
So that worked out.
Now, that looks nice.
We talked about it a few weeks ago, Willard. I don't know if you remember.
Right, yeah, that's what you said. He bought it off the show.
Well, I get ideas.
Yeah.
Not for me, for clients.
Yeah, it's not like he jumps into it because we do our own analysis. You know, and we always say, make sure you do your own analysis, you know, but he writes down anything that looks interesting, you know, and then
I think
checks.
Skyworks is kind of like in the same scenario if you look at it.
Oh, yeah. I like the way it's come out there. It's very, very strong.
Closed it's at 74. You might get 10 points on it. I don't know.
Yeah. It's in a resistance area, you know, between what, 75 and, say, 77 or so, 78.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, if it goes through that resistance, then, as Willard said, you know, you could get up into, mid to high 80s, yeah.
There's another one. You guys familiar at all with NTES?
No, I've seen it, you know, go by a few times, at different
Excuse
times.
Excuse me, I owned it a year ago.
Boy, that's
was that? Was that, that NetTease? Is that
yeah, NetTease? And I was stopped out or something. It's so volatile. I have never learned how to play the volatiles.
What a beautiful chart. Oh,
beautiful
that's
chart.
That's a pretty volatile stock, that's a thing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean,
close to 217.
It's been moving up very tight. You know, it doesn't look on that chart very volatile to me.
No, I think it was, I don't know what it was, somewhere in here I bought it and it came down in the bottom.
But
how does it look right now?
Well, I mean, it's just...
If I owned it, I'd hold it.
Yeah. I mean, it's perfect chart pattern, no question
would
about it.
Would I buy it here?
Where would you look to buy it, Willard?
I don't know. Under 200, if I was that lucky.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you could use a tight stop at, what, 190?
198.
198, or just below that, 192
but then,
or something.
You know, then you're down... Well, 7%.
That's not much at all.
7%.
If you can't take a 7% loss, you don't belong in the stock market, right?
Well, you know, maybe we'll just wait and see if it kind of approaches the 200 area.
Yeah, you can. It'd be interesting to see what happens Monday, you know, after the nervousness thanks to the Fed vice chairman there. So,
got time for one last one?
Oh,
yep.
Sure.
URI looks really good.
Well, yeah. I sold mine. And
yeah, Dennis called me at work and said, "You in URI?" I said, "No."
What did he say? Did he say buy or what?
Oh, he likes it. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Looks great.
Well, if you look at it, that's breaking through some pretty hard resistance.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, he may be out of it by now. He plays for a few points, you know. Yeah.
But, I mean, if you look at it, I was looking at it the other day, and I don't know if it's like maybe over the last 6 months or a year. It's breaking through some pretty...
Oh, this is a big breakout.
Yeah.
This is a big, big breakout. Yeah.
And what is it, around 81 or something?
Yeah. I mean, it almost 82. Looks like, you know, that it would head toward 100 anyway, you know.
So if you look at your stops here, what would you use for that, Peter? Like for...
Well, it looks like about 70, what?
74.
73,
72.
Okay.
Yeah, 72.
10 points off.
Yeah, 72 would be 10 points off right now.
All right. And, I mean, if you know, I'm thinking if the oil sector is starting to pick up, I mean, URI should follow, you know, so...
Oh, yeah. Well, if Dennis comes on, he'll tell you all the things they rent to, you know, all this construction on highways stuff, infrastructure.
And, I mean, you look at their PE is like 10. I mean, they make $8 a year, right?
Oh, yeah.
The only thing is they carry a heavy debt load.
Yeah, well, that you know when you're making money, that
leverage
that,
is great. When you're making money,
that leverage is right on the way up. Leverage is great.
And if you stop making money,
right,
you're finished.
Leverage will kill you. You know.
Yeah. Okay, guys, great show as usual.
Thank you. Appreciate
Thanks,
the call.
Dan.
Take care.
We're gonna break.
You are listening to the Dollar Doctors every Saturday morning, live from 10 to 11. Willard Saperstein and Peter Greco of Saperstein Asset Management answer your questions about stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. The Dollar Doctors are heard live every Saturday morning on ESPN 1520 Buffalo. Their shows are also available 24/7 at saperstein.com. Years of previous shows are available there. The Dollar Doctors show is also rebroadcast Saturday night at midnight. If you'd like to have Sapperston Asset Management evaluate your portfolio and discuss management services, you can contact Willard or Peter by calling in Buffalo 854-7541 or toll-free 800-879-7541. Again, in Buffalo, 854-7541, toll-free 800-879-7541. Now back to the Dollar Doctors.
We're back. Willard Sapperston, Peter Greco, live Saturday, August 27, 2016 at 10:35. Rebroadcast tonight from 12 to 1. The show brought to you by Sapperston Asset Management, FINRA, SIPC, MSRB, RIA. We manage accounts. We'll manage accounts also, your 401k, 403b away from our firm. Securities are held by First Clearing, a part of Wells Fargo. Free economic research on the website, sapperston.com, every Saturday morning at 7:05 posted, except for next Saturday. And what else do we do? A little business consulting, a little bookkeeping, a little real estate. Jack of all trades, right? Hello.
You're talking to the audience? Or
talking to you.
What I was going to say was we did have some trouble with the phone lines, and you may have had trouble getting in. The phone lines are all back to working properly. So give us a call, 803-1520 or 800-879-7541.
Good morning, David.
Good morning, guys. Hey, Willard, you're always talking about keeping powder dry here. I want to know where I put that powder to keep it dry and make a couple bucks.
Well, money market will save you a couple bucks, even though it pays zero. Because if you go into something for 30 or 60 days, you'll be in trouble. And if short-term rates go up, all the short-term stuff will go down.
And she's talking about raising rates in the next few months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't think you mess around. And if you have 10 to 20% cash, that's okay. Because if you don't have it and there's an opportunity, you can't take advantage.
Yeah, I know, but it hurts having it sit there getting zero.
Yeah, it does, but, you know,
it
depends on, I don't know, your risk tolerance. I mean, there's opportunities in this market every single day, okay? But if you're not that risk person and you're looking for something safe, it's tough, you know?
Yeah.
It's very, very tough.
Yeah. All right. I'll stop in one day and talk to you guys again.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Good talking to you. Take care.
Thanks, bye-bye. David. Give us a ring. We're live, the Dollar Doctors, Saturday morning, August 27th, 803-1520, 803-1520, or 1-800-879-7541. Good morning, Rich.
Good morning. I was calling to ask you what you thought of Solar City right here in Buffalo.
Well, they're in the news all the time.
Yeah, they're
what's that?
Trending down.
What's the
right
symbol?
Now.
What is it? Oh, so SCTY.
Hmm. Yeah.
Well, they've been bought out.
Yeah, Tesla has.
Yeah, so game's over, you know.
Yeah. or beginning.
Well, it is, because did they do it for cash or did they do it for Tesla stock?
You know, I just read about it the other day, and I haven't actually gone and looked that up.
Okay.
I saw it was being approved.
Right.
Well, the chart on Solar City and the chart on Tesla both look icky.
Yeah.
But, you know,
whatever that means.
Well, the thing I liked about them.
Check the news.
I don't know if you're familiar with the solar industry. Anything over 12% efficiency is competitive with oil.
Mm-hmm.
They actually have a 22% efficient solar cell, which actually makes oil obsolete, you know. And they're the largest solar manufacturer in the Western Hemisphere once they get this plant operating.
They want antitrust approval to acquire Solar City.
Yeah, but is it cash or is it stock?
You want to know everything.
That's right.
And what makes
because if it's cash, you know, however you look at it, you get the cash, then you have to own Tesla if you want to get involved with, you know, their portion of Solar City they own, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd have to check that out. I don't know if he's going to find it or not, but somehow he's an investor.
$2.6 billion Tesla Solar City deal announced August 1st.
Yeah, and for what?
Cash
or what? Boop,
boop. I'm reading.
Hurry up.
Doesn't say.
Yeah. Well, you'd have to check it out. But obviously, either way, all right. Whether you don't own Solar City, do you?
Solar City, yes, I do.
Oh, you do. Okay.
Yeah.
So actually, you'd have to.
I made some money on it going up and down.
That stock was wild. I mean.
Yeah. Right. And I bought it on the lows. In fact, I hit low and then went lower. I doubled down on it, and I really made out.
Yeah. Oh, so you ended up selling it when it went high then, right?
Yeah, then I held some back.
Okay.
So I'm not in that deep, you know, because I made some good money on the swings. Well, one other thing I was wondering, have you know anything about Brzezinski, BZYR?
BZYR?
It's a pink sheet item. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He's a cancer researcher who's been actually curing cancer for 35, almost 40 years.
Hmm.
He mainly FDA's been trying to shut him down for years. The main thing that got him his notoriety was there's a cancer that's called diffuse intrinsic brainstem glioma. And it's fatal. Nobody ever lived from it.
Mm-hmm.
But he has patients that have survived and are still alive today.
Mm.
In fact, one of them, I think, was 29 and married and having kids now. But he's been, I don't know if you're familiar with the story of him.
No, let's hear it, though. It sounds interesting.
Well, he was on, he's actually a Polish doctor. He immigrated to the United States, settled it in Texas. And some of his patients had asked if he could, I guess they had cancer, particularly a child, an infant. And the parents were told that, all they could do is give him chemo and radiation, and that would just extend the life a little bit, but they were going to die anyway. And he wound up... they came to him, and he said, well, I don't know if I can work on that or not. When he was a student back in college, he had an idea about a thing that he called antineoplastons. It's a protein that's found in blood and urine. And one of the things he had observed back then was people that had cancer were missing this protein, and people that were healthy had it. And so he reasoned that possibly if you reintroduce these proteins, enzymes, back into the system, it'll put the system back into balance. Because, for one thing, I think people have a lot of misunderstanding of cancer. Cancer is not, I hate the word disease, because it's not an infection or something like that. It's actually a malfunction of your body. And like any machine, if you don't lubricate it, you don't provide it with the right stuff and maintain it, it breaks down. Well, people are the same way. And so basically he was trying to restore the system. Well, he did contact his lawyer. His lawyer checked with the state rules, and they found out that if you've gone and had chemo, radiation, and surgery, and they told you there's nothing else that could be done, your doctor could do anything he wanted as long as it did no harm. And so he can only do it in his state. So he did. He actually extracted some of this from cow urine, because that was a source. I guess now he actually synthesizes the stuff. But he treated the child, and she lived, and is still alive today. And that's what made notoriety about him. In the paper. He wound up being on Oprah. He was interviewed on Oz. Then the FDA, or not the FDA, the Texas Medical Board came after him and tried to shut him down. And they came up with a bunch of baloney, took him to court, and he was acquitted, and they threw it out. Well, a couple months later, they came after him again with the same exact charges, only just reworded it, took him to court. Again, it was acquitted. Anyway, they did this five times. It turned out that the people who were at the trials before were coming back and protesting at the courts why the Texas Medical Board kept going after this guy when he's actually curing people, you know?
Hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. I think I saw some network. I saw this guy on a show, and they were very negative on him.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Apparently he's got a clinic I found on the internet.
Yeah, it's in Houston.
Yep.
Anyway,
I mean, the stock just about trades by appointment, really.
And it's a penny stock, seven, 8 cents.
Right. But so. the thing is, right now he's actually in, well, he finished phase two trials and he started phase three trials. But here's the thing. And when a phase three trial, what you do is you have two groups, you know, that are random selected. And one gets the stuff that's being tested, and the other one gets whatever is on the market that's competitive with whoever the person is, and then they see, you know, how well it makes out. Well, there is no cure for this particular kind of cancer. Nobody has ever been cured in the entire world of it except by him. So what the FDA did was now is they required them to do the phase three trials that he had to give him the, you know, he could give him the antineoplastons, but he had to treat him with radiation. Well, radiation, because this is in your brainstem, you basically blow it through your ear, burn out your eardrums, and destroy half of your brainstem in the process. And if you do recover, you know, or retard it, usually you wind up dying from that kind of damage within a couple of years anyway. So basically, the FDA is kind of keeping it from coming out. They're not letting it be tested on its own, you know. Well, anyway, there's people who have been coming back and have been testifying. The FDA finally came after him. And it turned out later, it came out in the news, that the FDA was the one who was originally pushing the Texas Medical Board to go after him. Well, when they couldn't get him, the FDA came out after him. They took him to court four times. We're trying to put him in prison. And then finally, people come and testified. They wound up having the FDA wound up being called before Congress. And there was a congressional session, and they were interrogating the FDA and wanted to know why they kept going after this guy with the same charges, which they kept losing, and why they were harassing him when he was obviously saving people. Well, right after that, they kind of changed their tune, and they let him start.
It has to be the big drug companies, obviously.
Yes, right. Yeah, they don't want to see this come about.
Any more stocks you're interested in? Thank you for the story.
Yeah, okay. No, that was so you really don't know anything about it.
Obviously not. Now we know more than we knew before,
and the listeners know more. And I've written it down. I'll have a look. Thank you.
The beauty of the thing is if it's approved with phase three trials, it can be used as an off-label product.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, it's made. You know, it's being tested for one particular cancer.
Maybe it'll save Mylan.
But he's used many cured actually many other cancers on it. And they don't want to see it approved.
Interesting.
Thank you, Rich.
Keep an eye on it.
Thanks very much.
Call.
Okay.
All right, take care.
Give us a ring. The Dollar Doctors. We're live Saturday morning, August 27th. Willard Sapriston, Peter Greco, 803-1520 or 1-800-879-7541. Good morning, John.
Good morning, gentlemen. Hey, listen, this stock that I took a position on was TWLO. How do you feel about that?
It's a new issue that's been going through the roof.
And I picked some of it up at about 27, and then I picked up some about 40.
Well, it's been coming down now from 66 to what, about 50 bucks, 54?
Yeah, but it went up over the weekend. It went up to 54.
Well, in looking at it,
it had a high of 54 yesterday.
I mean, personally, I wouldn't have been greedy. If I bought it at 27 and it was 66, I would have taken some off the table, you know, because something like this in a nervous market could go all the way back down again, you know.
Yeah.
And neck supports
in my
back.
Situation, I'm not greedy, but here a couple of years ago, my Social Security became an income instead of you can forget about it. You don't have to pay taxes on it.
Well, you make too much money, you got to pay tax on Social Security. In fact, if I was to take it, I'd be taxed for half and I'd be penalized for half, and I'd get zero.
Yeah, that's right. And it cost me...
It doesn't get my vote.
$2,000 one year because I only made about $10,000 one year. But my $15,000 was added on to that.
Of course. That's how it works.
$25,000 or $17,000. And I had to pay taxes on all of that.
Well, that's because when the government buys a toilet, they cost $300.
Social Security taxable. That's all. So I don't do it.
Okay, well, you're right.
Don't make decisions because you're worried about taxes, all right? Because this thing could go from 66 down to 6. I mean, you know. So who knows, right?
6 or 1 and then...
I'm just saying, you know, I remember years ago people owned a lot of AT&T stock and they didn't want to take profits, right?
Right. When it went from 55 to 3 and had to reverse stock split.
Right, yeah. So, you know, never let that affect your decisions, you know.
Thanks, gentlemen.
Okay. Thank you, John. Take All care. Right. Call us. We're live. We have a little time left. 803-1520, the Dollar Doctors, or 1-800-879-7541, Saturday morning, 10:50. Good morning, Chris.
Yes, I thought you might like to know that I had stock in Dr. Brzezinski's drug 25 years ago. My father was treated with antineoplastin in 1985 for prostate cancer, and he was stage 3, and there was nothing they could do for him.
Mm-hmm.
So they allowed him to go to Dr. Brzezinski, and in 4 months, he was 100% cleared. He had no bone tumors.
Oh, boy.
And no cancer in his prostate.
Hmm.
And I bought stock at that time. It was over-the-counter on the pink slip.
Yeah.
It was very difficult to find, and I had to go through a stockbroker to get it. And when he would get publicity and they would show that he had a positive effect on things, the stock would skyrocket. And then when he didn't get any publicity, it would lower. Yeah. I don't know what it's doing today.
Well, it's about 7 cents, actually.
Yeah, well, that's about where it was.
Right.
Well, it was about 3 cents.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. It doubled.
That I bought, yeah. Well, at one time, I bought $300 worth of stock, and at one time, it was worth $1,500.
Holy cow.
But that was way back in the 90s.
Boy, oh, boy.
But your dad had a positive outcome with the thing.
Yes, and we could prove it because he had no treatment. Mm-hmm. They told him there was nothing they could do.
Yeah.
And when he came back home and went to the VA, they said, oh, we have, sometimes we have these spontaneous remissions. Bull.
Well, you know, it's the big drug companies that are behind it. In my opinion, they never want to cure the serious diseases because then they have nothing to treat.
That's right.
Well, I appreciate the call. That's mm-hmm. very helpful. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chris.
Okay.
All right.
Take
call
care.
Again, please. Tom, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Got a couple stocks here.
Sure.
If you could look at them. One is Ultra, ULTA.
Well, you don't want to know. I owned it for a client, and I got worried, and I was stopped out only to turn around. Stopped out at about 55, only to turn around and go to 276, right?
Yeah, but it came down real quick.
Well, I mean, it went straight up.
Come on. It went up from 170 to 270.
Yeah.
That's 100 points.
50-point retracement.
It is in Investor's Business Daily as one of the 15 best stocks for earnings and relative strength, if you want to know where I found it. And according to my wife, they have very nice beauty product stores.
Well, what do you think of it here? I think it's around 245.
254.
Okay.
And what's the question? You want to know whether to sell it
Well, I was into it for a while, but got out of it. I was wondering whether I should get back in.
If you could get around 245, it would look like a buy to me.
Okay.
Now, the low Friday was 250. So you know what's 5 points on a $200 stock. Or what you may even say, what's 10 points as it closed at 254, but it looks that it may get into the 245 range.
But the reason I was interested in this is because it beat earnings and it beat its revenue, but yet the stock got hammered pretty well.
Well, because it got ahead of itself, but that's why it's on the IBD Best 15. That's what they do. They look for the best earnings and the best relative strength and the best sales.
Yeah, but after a big run-up like that, believe it or not, people were expecting even better earnings.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, there's another one, too. SJM, Smucker's.
You're a high-price guy, right?
Well, no, not really. I just...
Smucker's, it looks that it could be bought in that 132 to 136 range, closed at 138. So they're all pretty close. You know, got as high as 156. Great chart, but then, if you look at Smucker's and you look at General Mills charts, they look about the same.
Did General Mills also have a gap in there? Smucker's has a big gap.
Well, it had a spike, what we call a spike. In fact, it's still on the spike.
Okay, would you buy this at, 132 or so?
I would buy half if it was my money.
Okay.
If you could get 132, I would buy half there, and probably it holds. If not, you could see, 115, 110.
That low, huh?
Well, you don't know. If we knew, we wouldn't have a stock market, right?
Yeah, that's true. How about Gold Corporation, GG?
Well, big write-up in Barron's this weekend.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. They said it could go up, 25% or something?
They're always saying stocks could go up 25%.
Yeah. Close at 16, gave a sell. I mean, I would buy that if it turned. That would have to be a point and a half off 16, so 17.75 on stop, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, okay.
In other words, I don't know if it hit the bottom yet. I don't care what Barron says.
Okay.
It's got to turn around. Thank you for the call.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Good morning, Jerry.
Having a good show, as usual.
Thank you.
I found out from recently that the government is getting into our IRAs more by taxing the REIT. They're now taxing the REIT K-1s. Which they hadn't in the past, and that was one of the attractive things for investors, I thought, with their IRAs, to be able to invest in REITs and not have to worry about tax reporting, all the complexities of the K-1s.
Well, my understanding is they're not taxed, but the government doesn't know whether it's an IRA or a personal account. So they're sending you a notice that why didn't you pay tax on this, and you have to have your tax person answer correctly.
Oh, so it's not, you're not going, if it is truly in a IRA account, you're not going to have to report it.
For most people.
And the companies do not, when they issue the K-1, they don't
differentiate
between personal and IRA.
But there are certain conditions where it can be taxable in an IRA.
Okay.
But, as you know, the government wants to put their hands in your pocket.
But those conditions, I mean, if you look it up, I forgot it. I Googled it years ago, But, the company has to have done this, that, and the other thing, and it's kind of complicated. But I'm just saying the majority or almost all people, are not going to get involved in that, so.
I haven't talked to the accountant, but I meant to, but I thought you people would at least have a little bit of overview, and I appreciate
Okay.
I appreciate that. Now I'd like to ask you about a couple of stocks.
All right, we've got about a minute left.
2 minutes left, maybe.
Valiant.
Valiant, good luck.
VRX.
VRX, yeah.
Very speculative.
Very questionable.
Do you own it?
Company.
I own just a very small amount, and I'm wondering about dumping it.
Yeah, it's coming.
I have a small loss.
Starting to come back up.
I mean, if you could get to 38, that would be a sell point.
Yep.
Okay.
You know.
Thank you. I appreciate your info.
Got one more? Is that it?
Yeah, well, Trinity, TRN.
TRN, yeah, that one's looking nice, too.
That looked better.
Dennis told me that they're not going to be sued for their guardrails.
Oh.
That finally ended, so.
Okay.
That one looks like it could go up to, what, 30?
40, well, the price objective is $40, close to 25.
Yeah, next resistance is around.
Okay, well, I've been holding it this long. Might as well hold it.
I'd hold it. I think it's on its way back up.
Okay, thank you all.
Okay, thank you, Jerry.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Willard Saperstein, Peter Greco, the Dollar Doctors. We're live every Saturday morning at 10:05 on ESPN 1520. Rebroadcast 12 to 1, midnight Saturday nights. Live and streaming on our website, saperstein.com, with free economic research and archive shows. And as we always say, keep a little powder dry. And good night and good luck.
You've been listening to The Dollar Doctor Show. Every Saturday morning at 10, Willard Saperstein and Peter Greco answer your questions about stocks, bonds, mutual funds, retirement issues, and the economy in general. The Dollar Doctor Show is brought to you by Saperstein Asset Management, member of the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, SIPC, MSRB. Discussion of specific securities should not be construed as recommendations to buy or sell, either by Saperstein Asset Management or AM 1520 WWKB. The Dollar Doctor Show is rebroadcast on Saturday night at midnight. You're invited to join us again then or next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on AM 1520 WWKB.